Welcome to Be Inspired with your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce, bringing you the right information right now to help you transform your mind, get more from life, and overcome adversity so you can enjoy more success. Accomplishments and adversity are two sides of the same coin. You have to overcome the adversity in order to see the results of the accomplishments. It's not just motivation, it's inspiration. If you want to be on the winning side of the coin, you'll want to tune in to the next hour. Now, here are your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Be Inspired. I'm your co-host, Stephen Pierce, and unfortunately, Dr. Dindley will not be with us here today. He had an appointment that he had to be on, which was absolutely critical. However, we're going to keep the show going, and today we're going to be talking about the five-step success system that works every time. Yes, there's five steps. Now, think about this. Every one of us have our different ambitions, our different goals, and different things we aspire to, and all of us can define success differently. However, before I give you what these five steps are, I'm going to kind of paint a picture for you, right? Because for everything, there's what we call the macro ingredients, which are those large ingredients, and then there's those micro ingredients that are very specific to whatever it is you're doing. And both set of ingredients are important to the success of whatever that endeavor is. For example, if you think about an athlete, right? An athlete playing football, some of the micro ingredients they would need to focus on is related to the football. If you're a quarterback, you know, taking a snap and then throwing the ball and properly handing off the ball. If you're a running back or you're a wide receiver, is running your different routes and running your patterns. Now, that's going to be completely different for an athlete that's playing, say, basketball. Now, if you're an athlete playing football, you don't need to be focusing on how do you bounce a football, because that's not how that game goes, right? And if you're a basketball player, you need to be practicing free throws, right, or your jump shot, or your dribbling, or your offense or your defense in basketball, not out throwing football passes, unless you're on spring break or whatever, and you're on vacation having fun. But in terms of building the skills to excel at what it is you're doing, those micro skills are important. However, regardless of the sport, be it basketball, football, it could be tennis, it could be hockey, it can be anything. There are macro ingredients that they all have in common for them to be successful. And that's where those five steps come in at. And also think about baking, right? Let's just say somebody's going to build or bake a chocolate cake. Someone's going to bake a vanilla cake. Somebody's going to bake a carrot cake. There are some ingredients, the macro ingredients, that are going to be common in every single cake, like the flour, the sugar, the leavening, whatever it is, you know, the baking powder, whatever you're going to be using. But then there's going to be those micro ingredients. What you're going to put into a carrot cake to make it a carrot cake is not going to be the same thing you're going to put into the chocolate cake or the vanilla cake, right? So when it comes to being successful, there are specific things to your field, like what an attorney must master is going to be different than what a surgeon must master. But I'm telling you this to kind of give you a background for what it is I want to share with you today, because regardless of what it is you're choosing to excel in, to succeed at, there are five ingredients that all success have in common. And we just kind of break them down into five steps. You can call them five tips. Call them what you want, but they are five things that if you want to become successful, you want to make sure that you understand these ingredients and that they are being exercised, if you will, in your life. Now, the first one, I want to make sure you write these down. The first one is your commitment, but it's not just a commitment to start, because there, in excelling at anything, there's actually three phases. There's starting, continuing, and completing. See, here's the thing. We can get excited in curiosity, right? Curiosity is enough to get us started in any new venture or anything that it is that we want to do because it's new and it's exciting. However, it takes a strong commitment to see it through to completion. Like if you want to run like a 5K, you're going to run a marathon. Hey, the easiest part is running off the starting line. It's when you start to get into the middle and it starts to become taxing on your body and on your respiratory system, on everything inside of you, that all of a sudden you have to go back to, why am I doing this, right? That commitment is going to help you to continue to see that marathon through to completion. So remember, the easiest thing to do is to start something. The hardest thing to do is to finish something. And yet, the greatest value of anything in a process is it being completed. When you go and buy an automobile, you don't want the guy saying, hey, some assembly required, right? You don't. When you go buy an automobile, you want the keys, or maybe you're a little fancy and you have the keyless ignition, right? You just, you know, put your foot on the brake or whatever and you push the button. Whatever it is, you don't want him or her to pop the hood and say, hey, we have most of it done, but you need to finish putting together the engine. Look, the greatest value of most things we have is it being completed. When you move into a new house, let's just say you have your dream house that's being built. From the ground up, from the blueprint in your mind to the blueprint on the paper to it being realized and actualized there on the land. You can't move in when they just barely have the foundation down, right? Everything, even when they have just the frame for the house up, is not ready, it's not complete. The value of that new home comes in when it's completed. And that's the same thing for the things that are in our life. The value is not just in the starting it and even in the continuing it. Those are prerequisites to completing it. So what we want to be focusing on is not just how we can be great starters and how we can be strong in continuing it. We want to make sure that we are relentless and that we are dogmatic, if you will, about completing what it is we start. Okay, now, one way to strengthen your commitment to the process is to not just lean on your intentions, because look, I'm sure we all have good intentions, right? When we start something, we intend to continue, we intend to win, we intend to do our best. But one thing is, you need to be assured that the feeling you started with can rapidly fade once you hit that cloud of turbulence. And the turbulence is going to come because we have in our mind the idea of what success should look like, what the journey should be like, or how we would like the journey to be. But what happens is reality collides with what's going on in our mind, and we can have this disorientation. And then we start to argue with reality because we're saying stuff like, it shouldn't be this way, or, you know, that's not how it was supposed to be, but that's how it is. Right now, all of a sudden, you know, we start to feel a certain way about this journey, about this path, about what it is we say we want to accomplish, because it's not going according to our plan or going according to this image we had in our mind. So the feelings that we had when we start something can be challenged when we get into the middle of it, or even when we start to come close to completing it. So while our intentions are good, if we instead fully understand how completing it, meaning, hey, listen, I understand I'm excited to start this, and I know I'm going to have to dig deep at some point to continue it. But if we understand how completing what it is we start is going to impact and influence others for the greater good, then we'll have a better chance of following through. And the reason why is because many times when we bail out of something, we're focused on us. We're focused on our own discomfort. We're focused on what we don't like about it. We're not really thinking about what quitting is going to cost other people, right? We're not necessarily thinking about how finishing this is going to impact and influence other people. So if we become a little less selfish and self-centered in those moments, right? Because we'll tend to think about our own feelings. Hey, I don't like this feeling. I don't like what it is I'm dealing with or what it is I'm going through right now. So we're focused on us. We're not thinking about the consequences of not completing it. We're just caught up in escapism, if you will, thinking about how can we escape this moment of frustration or this pain or this place that we do not like being in. And never really understanding that the cost that we ultimately pay for giving up is massive. Absolutely massive. And one of them is a psychological damage that we do to ourselves, because every time we start something and we quit, we start to breach our self-trust because we committed to something. Now, I think we talked about this on a previous show. When you commit to something and you break that commitment, your brain is not going to tell the difference between somebody else committing to you and breaking those commitments and you're not being able to trust them, versus you making commitments yourself and breaking those commitments, and then all of a sudden there's this displacement of trust in yourself. Well, now you live life with this great deal of discomfort, not really understanding why you don't go for it, why you have these different apprehensions, and why your mind is saying go, but your body is pumping the brakes. So there's all this inner conflict. And a lot of that inner conflict comes because of how we have started, but yet not continued and complete anything. And we start to send a signal to our own brain and our own self that we can't trust ourselves, so why even start it? And many of us don't even understand that inner conflict. So we think something is wrong with us, or we blame the world, or we think something is wrong with the opportunity or the business or the industry or the boss or the job or the relationship, not realizing that that inner conflict inside of us is because of the self-damage we have done to ourselves because of commitments we made and commitments we've broken. So when we make a commitment, we want to make sure we take those commitments seriously, because that is the number one thing in the list, not necessarily number one in term of order of hierarchy of importance, because all five of these are ingredients. Hey, listen, the flour and the sugar are equally important in the recipe if you're looking to, you know, bake a cake of some sort, right? So for whatever order you put them in, that's your choice, but they both need to be there. So the five things we're talking about, they all need to be there. I'm just giving them to you in, you know, a specific order. All right, so the first thing is your commitment to not just start, but your commitment to continue and to see it to completion. Now, number two, courage. And I'm talking about courage to deal with change in obstacles. There's a, I don't know if you remember, but a long time ago, there used to be a commercial on television, long before the world became as diverse as it is with cable channels, like hundreds of channels, right? But there was a commercial that, and the question was, how do you spell relief? Right. And then it would spell out Rolaids, was it R-O-L-A-I-D-S or something like that. Right. So my question for you is, how do you spell opportunity? Well, opportunity is spelled O-B-S-T-A-C-L-E-S. Opportunity is spelled obstacles. And the reason why is because looking for an opportunity that is void of obstacles is the equivalent of looking for a forest without the trees. The trees make up the forest. Right? The obstacles make up the opportunity. They're one and the same. So what happens is I think we tend to put ourselves at a disadvantage because we're looking at, hey, where is the opportunity with no risk? Where's the opportunity that's void of adversity? Where is the opportunity where there's not going to be any obstacles? That's not going to happen. Opportunities are birthed from the obstacles, right? Progress is birthed from the problems. And if you think about going back to the sports analogy again, if you will, and any type of sports, championships are won by the individuals and like the individual sports like, you know, golf and tennis or teams, whatever, individuals or teams, they're won by those with the courage to take on the greatest challenges. Knowing there's always going to be risk. When a boxer goes into the ring and he or she holds the championship belt, that belt is always at risk. Always at risk. When you have an undefeated record and you're going in there with somebody, that undefeated record is always at risk. So the thing is having enough courage to understand that, hey, listen, I got to go for this. But here's the thing. When you're looking at how to be successful, life, sports, business, relationships, it requires us to look at life and look at these opportunities through a lens of courage and not a lens of cowardliness. And many times, if we're using the lens of a coward, and by the way, we both have that courageous one and coward inside of us. You can call it your higher self or your lower self, but it's who we nurture the most, right? If given an opportunity to do something, let me give you an example. If you shrink back from it and you run from it, you are nurturing the coward. So by nurturing the coward, you strengthen the coward, and that's the part of you that continues to show up when you're faced with an obstacle, when you're faced with change, when you're faced with something that seems to be adverse or dangerous or kind of scary. In that moment, right, in that moment when the courageous one is kind of there whispering, but that coward is yelling, let's run, we want to make sure that we say, hey, listen, I understand how I'm feeling right now. I may be a little intimidated. I may be a little afraid or a little anxious. But, hey, this is what I'm committed to, and I'm going to figure it out, right? So I'm just going to push through this. I'm going to push through it. I'm not going to have it push me back. I'm not going to go run over into the corner and curl up in the fetal position, right? I'm going to push through this. So understand that in those moments of challenges, in those moments, we are nurturing a certain part of us to show up when those situations come again. Either we're nurturing the coward or we're nurturing that courageous part of us, right? Now, courage is really not about being fearless. Because, you know, some people think, hey, you know, the people that are courageous have no fear. That's not really what it's about. Being courageous is really about having something that is bigger than your fears that drive you through them and give you the opportunity to use those fears as fuel. See, we tend to kind of wrestle with fear and all this other kind of stuff. And there's a product that Dr. Dentley is about to release called Fearlessly Speaking, right? And although it says Fearlessly Speaking, is really helping you to understand that the old acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real, doesn't really give you anything to understand how to use fear. So we have a different acronym for fear called Feeling Energized and Ready, because fear is all about energy. But what happens is it's an energy showing up, and then we put a label on it. You can label it as being afraid, and then you run, or you can label it as being energized and ready, and now you're going to use it as fuel to be able to conquer whatever it is you must conquer in that moment. But at the end of the day, it's just energy, and it's energy by our own definition, because it's not the external thing that makes us afraid, it's how we're processing it internally. Right. And how do we know that? Because one person can be afraid of a snake and another person is not afraid of the snake. So it's not the snake. One person can be afraid of heights and another person is not afraid of the heights. So it's not the heights. It's all our own internal programming, our old associations or new associations, and how we're processing all this information and how we're living our world through our own different belief systems, etc. So since we know that fear is not an external thing that is global to everyone, but it's personal to us, we can then go through and start to redefine what it is we're afraid of or how we start to process that energy that shows up. Because at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's what you're feeling. Now, you may define it and then you may label it as fear. And the moment you do that, you're going to respond to that energy in a completely different way as opposed to if you said, hey, listen, I'm feeling energized and I'm ready. Because you're feeling something. You can be feeling afraid. So you start to hyperventilate, and you start to get sweaty palm and dry mouth, and your heart starts to race really quickly. You start to breathe really shallow, and then you start maybe going to panic mode, and then this anxiety builds, right? Or you're feeling energized and ready, and you're feeling it. You're not trying to get rid of the feeling. You're actually embracing it, right? You're not trying to run from it. You're not trying to subdue it. You're not trying to suppress it. You're like, I'm feeling energized and I'm ready. And now you're using all of that, what used to be energy that was interpreted as fear, as fuel for you in that moment to go out and conquer the stage or conquer the situation, rather you're speaking or you're going to see a client or it's to ask the person out on the date or whatever the deal is, where that fear is showing up. Right. So we're going to go take a break. I've given you two so far. The first one is commit to starting, continuing and completing. Number two is courage to deal with change and obstacles. And there's three more. And I'm going to give you number three when we come back from a break. So stay tuned. Make sure you're taking copious notes and we'll be right back after this.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What is the real social impact that those in the entertainment industry are making? Indie Vision Radio with host Scott C. Brown, the founder of the Indie Vision Project and Maxit Magazine, is a personal conversation about their work in the industry and the impact they're having on humanity. From world health to world peace, you're given a true behind-the-scenes look at what those working in the indie realm are doing to make a positive influence on the world. On the Influencers Channel, tune in to Indie Vision Radio, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America.
It's time to elevate yourself and your business to the next level. What are the secrets of business success? Discover them on Key Entrepreneurs of Influence with your host, Kieran Sweeney. Find out who the business owners are that stand out in their respective industries and what they can teach you. The program contains valuable advice that can cost thousands through a professional consultant. Key Entrepreneurs of Influence can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired. We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. Drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
Welcome back. And we are going to continue today's episode on the five-step success system that works every time. Before we went to the break, we talked about two of the steps. One is your commitment to starting, continuing, and completing. And the second one was having courage, the courage to deal with the change and the obstacles that are going to be on that path to becoming successful at whatever it is you're choosing to excel in. And number three is confidence in your ability. And listen, confidence, self-confidence is about what you're confident in. Your confidence should not be leaning on what other people think you're good at or you're not good at, right? It's, hey, you have to be confident. Now, listen, I'm not talking about, cocky, right? I'm not talking about being conceited. And I'm not even talking about the kind of confidence where you think you're better than anyone else. I'm talking about a surefire, unwavering, unshakable confidence, which, by the way, we're going to be talking about confidence in next week's episode. So you want to definitely tune into that. We're going to be giving you, I think, like seven different ways to build that unshakable confidence. But that's what I'm talking about, a confidence and a certainty that you can go out there and you can do it. Hey, listen, when two boxers get into a ring, they both better believe they can win, right? Now, we know one of them is going to walk away the winner, unless there's the unusual draw, right? But you have to have confidence. And it's not about how much better you are than someone else or how much better they are than you. Life is one big sport, and there's a lot of competition. So what we want to be focused on is our confidence and doing everything we can to be building ourselves up, spirit, soul, and body, so that we have that. We have a foundation for our confidence, right? It's a confidence rooted in knowing that you were born with that right stuff. And all you need to do is choose to use that stuff the right way. And listen, that's the one thing we have on par. Now, we know there's really three things we have on par. One is we all have 24 hours in a day. The other thing is the sentence of death is for every living thing, rather it's vegetables growing off the ground, animals and bugs or people. That's a sentence on all flesh, right? The other thing is we're all born and made of the same stuff. It's just that we don't use the stuff the same way. Meaning you have the ability to think, you have a brain, you have eyes, you can smell. Like the five senses, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, gustatory. Olfactory is smell, gustatory is taste. Right? So for the most part, you have those, but mainly you have a mind that is a muscle that you can build, that you can expand, that you can grow, that you can exercise, like you can exercise a bicep or a tricep. And just as you can grow your biceps and your triceps and make them stronger, you can grow the synapses connections in your mind. You can create new neural pathways. Your brain does not have to decay with age. It can grow with age, right? Because it's a muscle that you can actually exercise. So the thing is, hey, listen, we're all made of the same stuff. We're just not using that stuff the same way. So I'm talking about that kind of confidence. Hey, I'm made with the same, with the right stuff. You know, that movie, The Right Stuff. You have the right stuff. Now, are you using that right stuff the right way? That's the question. And that is also the point of difference with most people. It's not what you're made of. It's how you're using what you've got. Right? So many of us, we can look at all the different shortcomings and all that kind of stuff, but that's a weak position. It's not about what you don't have. It's about how you're using what it is you do have. So when I'm talking about confidence, I'm not talking about a confidence that is moved by circumstances. I'm talking about a confidence that is unmoved by circumstances. That, in fact, the circumstances begin to move and change because of your confidence and the actions that you're taking. So think about that. A person's mindset doesn't change because the environment changes. The environment begins to change because they change their mindset, because of their level of confidence, right? You can wait for your environment to change, but how does that make you think, or what makes you think that's going to change what's going on in your head? Right, because there's two environments. You have the external environment that you exist in, and you have the internal environment that exists in your head. And generally, for our external environment to change, we must first change our internal environment. We can complain all day about what we have around us. What we want to do, though, is focus on what we have going on inside of us, because we have a higher level of control, a higher degree of control of that type of stuff. And by properly exercising our minds and growing our intelligence and making sure that we are fortifying that growth of intelligence with action, in other words, we are executing and implementing what it is we're learning, over a certain period of time, the environment is going to change. Now, I'm not saying a ripped up sofa is going to become some luxurious couch. I'm just saying that all these different elements in your life are going to change. You find yourself in a new car, a new house, a new address, right, when it comes down to the physical things. But it really starts with what's going on inside of us, right? So that's number three. The fourth one, and I kind of hit the word because they kind of go hand in hand, but the confidence one is really confidence in your own abilities, independent of what other people think about you. Because many times we'll think we're not good enough because other people tell us we're not good enough, or they may imply that we're not good enough. But you have to remember, everybody has an agenda, right? And a lot of people, I'm not going to say everyone, but a lot of people will try to suppress what you can do because they don't want you to outshine them or whatever their agendas may be. So you want to know that you're good based on what it is you know. You want to be confident based on yourself, not getting approval from the people around you, you know, having some kind of confidence certificate. Hey, can you all sign off on this so that I could be confident? No, you give your own self permission to be confident in your abilities and continue to build your abilities, which, by the way, if you constantly build your abilities, you're going to also build your confidence simultaneously because you're going to see those abilities grow, right? Like if you're going to the gym, if you've never been to the gym before and either squatted or bench pressed 300 pounds, you're probably not going to have a lot of confidence that you can do it. However, if you start with whatever weight you can start with and you start stacking on and going up, you know, 5 pounds and then another 10 pounds, and next thing you know, hey, you can squat 300 or bench press 300 plus, you know, 5 reps, 12 reps, whatever, easily. When you go to the gym, 300 pounds, you're confident you can do that. You work your way up to it, right? You develop the skills. You develop what it took inside of you to be able to do it. But initially, you didn't. So in building those abilities, we also build up our confidence because we don't want to have this false confidence and this fake confidence that is not backed up by substance, right? So you're confident you can do something, but you really haven't built the skills to be able to do it. We're just setting our own selves up for failure in that particular case. So we want to make sure our confidence is grounded and is rooted in something that's substantial and real. Now, the fourth thing is certainty about the outcome, right? Certainty about the outcome. Now, listen, the uncertain type of person, they're going to wish for it and they're going to wait for it and they're going to wonder if it's going to happen or not. Right. Hey, but listen, those people that are beaming with the confidence in the outcome, the certainty in the outcome, they're going to be building the wisdom. They're going to be working for it and they're going to know what's going to happen. And they know, hey, listen, it may not happen overnight, but it is going to happen over time. Right. They know they have this high level of certainty. Right. I'm not talking about like exercising, you know, witchcraft or what I like to call wishcraft. Right. The witchcraft is, you know, you master this skill of wishing stuff happens without really putting in the work to make this stuff happen. So we're not talking about witchcraft. What I'm talking about is an exercise in willcraft, if you will. They call it willcraft because it's a willingness to endure the worst to get the best. See, a lot of us, we want the best, but we don't want to go through much of anything to get it. And sometimes you must be willing to endure the worst of everything to get the best of what it is you want. Is that the ideal? No, but we must be willing to do whatever it takes. A willingness to endure the worst to get the best. Also, a willingness to do it when you don't feel like it. Our own feelings can betray us. One thing that you're going to always find is a constant battle in your life is your feelings are fighting against your commitment. Hey, this is what I'm committed to, but this is what I'm feeling, right? I go to the gym consistently, and I can tell you sometimes I'm wore out and I don't feel like going to the gym. I don't feel like going to the gym every single morning. Hey, listen, athletes don't always feel like going to camp. They don't always feel like going to do the work that they need to do. But that doesn't mean they're not committed to it. But it's in that moment, again, that we can strengthen the courageous part of ourselves, that higher part of ourselves, by saying, hey, listen, I understand I'm not feeling it. But it's not about a feeling. It's about my commitment, right? Hey, I get it. You're not feeling it. But what are you committed to? So I may not feel like going to the gym, but I'm committed to being physically powerful and being in my top physical shape as much as possible. And since that's what I'm committed to, I can understand what I'm feeling, but then push through those feelings. So the thing is never allow your commitment to bow down to your feelings. Don't ever allow that to happen, because the moment your feelings start to become king of your commitment, now all of a sudden you're living your life as a slave to all of your different emotions, a slave to anger, a slave to frustration, and mostly a slave to all the negative emotions, right? And then because different environments and different circumstances and different people can kind of push our emotions around, now all of a sudden we become a slave to what other people are doing because they're pushing our emotions around, if you will, because we allow them. And then we are then living our life through all of these different emotions, absent of what we're really committed to and what we feel as if our life is really all about, right? So again, a willingness to do it when you don't feel like it. And by the way, that is a true hallmark of a champion, someone that's looking to be successful. And I got a few more of these we're going to drop on you. And then we have one more of the five steps. Another thing is, because we're talking about your willingness, right? Your willingness to go when no one goes with you. Think about this, a willingness to go when no one is going to go with you. Because many of us, we have this group thing, right? And we want to go to the gym if our buddy or our girlfriend goes with us. And we want to do these things in groups. Hey, listen, many times the group does not want to do the right thing or the best thing. At least not the right thing and the best thing for you. So many times we have to be willing to go when no one is wanting to go with us. That takes a big commitment, right? Starting that business when everyone else is saying, don't do it. Doing that business when no one else wants to do it with you or no one else wants to join you in that business, right? Hey, listen, and this is the true test of your commitment and your willingness to be, do, and have, and become what you want to be, do, and have, and become, independent of what the people around you that influence you have to say and what they feel and what they think. It's a willingness to go when no one else wants to go with you. Another thing is a willingness to be wrong so that you can get it right. Many of us, we don't want to take a loss, right? We don't want to make a mistake because we're kind of conditioned when we grow up that making mistakes are wrong. We can get punished for them. So, and they can become painful. And it's not the mistake itself that's painful. It's the reaction that we get from people that can kind of make the mistake painful because that's how we learn. Mistakes are there for our learning. How do we know how to get it right if we don't first understand what's the wrong way to do it? Now, you may kind of, strike oil on the first time and you do something and you get it right, but that's not going to be the norm. There's going to be a lot of things that when you're doing it, it's going to be trial and error, which means it's going to be loaded, backloaded and front loaded with a ton of mistakes. But you work your way through those different mistakes to get to that winning position. However, if we don't have a willingness to be wrong, a willingness to make a mistake. It's like a company that's going to put money into running an ad. They have to be willing to take a loss on that ad. Meaning, hey, there's a chance this ad, we're going to do everything we possibly can. We're going to write do the best copy, use the best images, put together the best offers, the best pricing, the best everything we can. And then we're going to drop some money into this ad and run it in all these different places. Even still, they must be willing to be wrong. They must be willing to take a loss of everything. Because if they're not, then they're not going to ever run the ad, which means they never are in the position to win. They'll never be in that position to have a winning ad because they're not willing to have a losing ad. And it's the same thing in our life. We must be willing to be wrong. We must be willing to make the mistake. We must be willing to have an error if we want to be able to win. Another thing is a willingness to turn nothing into something, right? You look at your hands and you may see your hands as being empty. Right. Your hands may be empty, but your mind doesn't have to be. Right. In other words, the creativity, the critical thinking, the analytical thinking, the strategic thinking, all the type of thinking that you can do can take nothing and turn it into something. And think about that. Everything is basically an idea first. There's not a chair and then someone comes up with a chair. There's not a computer first and then someone comes up with the computer. People just come up with stuff. Right. They come up with stuff. They think about stuff. And then they create stuff. And that nothing that may be material is something that is in your mind, right? But the reason this is important is because many people believe they're not going to be able to succeed because they're looking at what it is they have in their hands. They don't have enough money, or they don't have enough relationships, or the right relationships, or they don't have enough time. Hey, listen, most companies that get started, the originator, the owner, the proprietary person of the company doesn't even have the money. So think about this. Let's just take two groups of people that want to start a business. They both have great ideas, but neither one of them have money, right? Here's an example of the willingness to turn nothing into something. And when I say nothing, I'm talking about you don't have, like, say, the physical resources, in this case, the money. You have something in terms of the idea. One person says, hey, man, this is an awesome idea. This could be a great business. This can make millions. This can change the world. This can help a whole lot of people, but we don't have the money. So let's just forget about it. Another group says the same thing. Hey, man, this is an awesome idea. This can change the world. This can help a whole lot of people. This can be transformational for generations to come. And it's like, look, we don't have the money. And they say, well, let's just go get it. Let's go convince some people. Let's go find some angel investors. Let's go find some venture capitalists. Let's go talk to the banks. Let's max out our credit cards. Let's go talk to family members. Hey, listen, whatever it takes, let's go. Somebody has the money. And that's not looking at what it is you have, but looking at what it is you want, right? See, there's a difference between creating your life based on where you are versus creating your life based on where you want to be. See, if you create your life based on where you are, you can look at the limited resources and say, well, I can't create much. If you create your life based on where it is you want to be, you can look at your current circumstances and say, well, I need to go get the resources, right? So it's all about that starting point, right? Another thing real quick is a willingness to be patient for your rewards. A willingness to be patient for your rewards. And I know in previous episodes, Dr. Dentley and I use gardens a lot. But it's a great example. People should have a garden because you can learn so much from a garden, how you have to take care of it and nurture it, and then how things just grow in different stages. And then you have to wait patiently for the fruit of your labor, literally the fruit of your labor, or the vegetables of your labor, if you will. But it's being patient, because remember, success doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. And you want to make sure you give that place the time that it needs. Even if you're baking a cake, it takes a certain amount of time, unless you want to be eating raw dough, right? You don't want raw chicken, so you let the chicken have the time it needs to cook, right? You may be excited. Your mouth may be watering, but you still, unless you want to get sick eating pink chicken, you still must give the chicken the time it needs to cook. And it's the same thing in your life. Success has to bake in your life for a certain amount of time. You need to allow it to cook. And it's the time frame. Hey, listen, I don't know what that time frame is, but it's going to be different for everybody. But the point is that when you start to embark on this journey, whatever it is, academics, business, politics, sports, you name it, whatever it is that you're choosing, understand it's not going to happen overnight. It is going to happen over time. And how long that's going to take, I mean, who knows? You may go to a college and say it's like a four-year degree or an eight-year degree or whatever. That may be how long it takes to get the degree if you stay the course and keep up with the grades. But then when you get out, starting the business, the law firm, the dentist office, or whatever the business is, when you're starting that, hey, who knows how long that's going to take to become successful, if that's what it is you choose to do. So the thing is whatever it is you're doing, we must be willing to be patient for those rewards to come. Listen, I have a few more things I want to get with you before we end today's show. I'm hoping you're finding this to be helpful. We're talking about the 5-step success system that works every single time. And I'm going to give you the 5th one when we come back after this break. So I'll see you right back here in a few seconds.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Want to improve your health, business, and life just by listening to a radio show? Well, we can at least move you in the right direction. Listen for Spotlight, the Allison H. Larson Show. Each week, Allison will speak with amazing guests and find out what's changed their lives and how they are changing the lives of others. From beauty to health to business and personal relationships, we're here to inspire you to live your life of passion. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Are you ready for provocative discussions with some of today's most powerful movers and shakers? Tune in to The Art of Significance, featuring Dan Clark, the modern-day Napoleon Hill, who interviews the wealthiest, most successful celebrities and business leaders on the planet, who are using their influence to change the world. From authors to entertainers, sports figures, educators, to military leaders, Dan covers multiple topics. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Change starts here. Change starts now. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired. We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
All right, welcome back. Today we're talking about the 5-step success system that works every time. And we've already covered 4. The first one was your commitment to start, continue, and complete. Like starting, continuing, completing, because the greatest value that we can find in something is when it is completed. And number 2, we're talking about the courage to deal with the change and obstacles that you're going to find on that path to becoming successful. 3rd, we're talking about confidence in your abilities and not waiting for someone to be confident in you for you to be confident in yourself. Your confidence is your responsibility. So it's about you being confident, not waiting for somebody to co-sign on your self-confidence. That's a personal decision. And right before the break, we were talking about certainty about the outcome. Not exercising this witchcraft, wishing for stuff, but a willcraft where we are willing to do whatever it takes. And not just a willingness, but we go for it and we take the actions to make it happen. And one of the willingness thing I wanted to add was a willingness to share and bless others with your rewards. Being able to spread, or as they say, you know, pass it forward. Just being able to take the rewards that you reap from enduring this process, because success is about endurance. Right? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's really about physical, mental, social, emotional, and spiritual endurance. That's why very few people actually achieve it. Many start, but the level of endurance that's required to actually continue to excel and succeed is one that many people fall short of. So we are hoping that that's not going to be you. But that willingness to share, that willingness to bless others with the rewards that it is you have. Because listen, we were talking about certainty, right? Certainty about the outcome. Certainty is really about foregoing, looking for guarantees in life. You know, nobody needs to guarantee you anything because you've already guaranteed to yourself that you want to do whatever it takes, whenever it takes, wherever, with however, whomever, whatever, right? To make that picture in your mind become a reality. That's the only guarantee you need. You don't need the world to guarantee you anything because you're guaranteeing yourself that I'm all in, I'm fully committed, I'm going forward, I'm going to make this happen. The two hands that I know that I could depend on are at the end of my own wrist, right? My standards, nobody else's standards, and my standards are high, right? Because it's what you can do regardless of what the people around you are committed to doing, right? Because it's your life, right? Now, the 5th thing is consistency in action. Right? No, notice I said consistency in action, not just action, because you can do things sporadically, occasionally, haphazardly. That's not going to do much. But it is consistency in action. And the reason why is because there's probably perhaps no greater effect experienced in every day, in all of our lives, every single day, outside of what's called the cumulative effect. The cumulative effect. Now, you may be asking, well, what is the cumulative effect? The cumulative effect is caused by what we do or we don't do consistently. But for example, like the getting fat, a person becoming obese, it's cumulative. It's not from one bad meal. It's not from one bad burger or whatever the bad meal is, right? It's a whole bunch of them consistently. Isn't a person that gets drunk, it's not one drink, right? It's an accumulation of the alcohol in the system. Right. Just like the accumulation of the bad food creates obesity or weight gain. Right. Or going to the gym is not going to the gym once that's going to make you lean and strong. It's an accumulation of going to the gym balanced out with the consistency in the proper diet. When you get stronger in the gym and you get leaner because of a different meal plan. A person that gets like lung cancer from cigarettes is not one cigarette. It's an accumulation. Right. That cumulative effect from a bunch of different cigarettes, whether they're chain smoking all in one day consistently across days or just a certain period of time. Hey, listen, it's an accumulation. So one thing we want to be thinking about is what we're doing and we're not doing consistently, because if you want to know your future, all you got to do is consult the consistency of your behaviors. Think about that. You want to know where your life is going. You want to know what your future looks like. You want to know where you're going to be or what you're going to have, you know, not a few months, maybe a few years down the road. Hey, listen, I can tell you right now, if I eat 10,000 calories a day and I'm stuffed into my face with whole pizzas right before bed, I can guarantee you where I'm going to be. Not even a few years, in 1 year. And I'm going to be probably close to bedbound. I'm going to be heavy, heavy, heavy. it's predictable, right? So there are some things based on patterns, just kind of like a meteorologist, that they're not all the time accurate, but they can be close. Looking at weather patterns, they can kind of tell you if it's going to be sunshine, if it's going to rain, if it's going to be cloudy, if it's going to snow, or whatever, because they're looking at patterns, right? In what you're doing consistently, the patterns that are in your life, the habitual behaviors are rather predictive of what your life is going to be like. So you do have an inevitable future. And how that is created is hidden in the consistency of your current behaviors, right? You have an inevitable future. All you have to do, if you want to know what that is, want to discover what that is just look at all your current behaviors, the things you're doing consistently or you're not doing consistently, right? Because you can consistently not do something, right? You can consistently not go to the gym, and that's going to produce something as well. Right. So we all, and see, here's the thing. People will say, hey, I need to be more consistent. Well, you know, consistency is not developmental as much as it is directional, because you're always consistently doing something or not. Right. Either you're consistently watching television or you're not. You're consistently reading or you're not. So consistency is directional. So the thing is, well, I need to more consistently do X. I need to more consistently go to the gym, or I need to more consistently communicate with X. Or if you want to be an author, you need to more consistently write if you ever want to get the book done or the multiple books done, right? So while no one can really predict your future or any future, if you will, what we can do, watching the consistent behaviors and the thoughts of those around us, we can get pretty darn close to what their life is going to be like, right? And you can kind of understand how a person got to where it is they are right now with their life just by looking at, you know, hey, I put it like this. This is true, because where we are right now is a scorecard. It's a lagging indicator. How much money a person has in their bank account is like a scorecard. If you look at a football game, you don't even have to go watch the teams play on the field. You can look at the scoreboard and know who's doing a better job, because the score is going to tell you. That's a lagging indicator that tells you how well the teams are playing on the field. It doesn't tell you how good each team is independently. It just tells you how well they're playing against each other. The scoreboard is the lagging indicator. It's the same thing with our weight. It's the same thing with money in the bank account and all that. Those are all scorecards, right? And it tells us how well we are doing something else. The only question is, what is that something else? And generally, that something else is attached to some type of habitual behavior that it is we have. Something we're doing or something we're not doing consistently, right? And again, like I was saying, like with the meteorologist, you know, they're able with a high level of accuracy to predict what the weather's going to look like. And so it is with our lives. We can, with a high level of accuracy, predict the nature and the texture of our futures by simply looking at what we consistently do in our lives right now. But the beautiful thing about that is, if you want your life to go in a certain direction, all you have to do is look at your current behaviors and say, hey, listen, if I continue to do this, where's my life going to end up? And that's a great question, and you'll get an honest answer, because it's like, look, it's pretty obvious. If I'm wolfing down 10,000 calories, I'm not going to have a six-pack. It's not going to be a six-pack. I'm going to look pregnant, right? Because I'm going to be fat. Extremely overweight. And look, there's some things that are just easy to kind of figure out. If you keep blowing your money, how much money are you going to have in savings and investments? No, hey, here's the deal. If you got a consistent paycheck coming in and you don't even put 10% aside in any type of investments, what is your retirement fund or your investment accounts going to look like? They're not going to have any, because you're not putting anything away consistently. Or if you do put money away consistently, but you consistently dip into it because of these manufactured emergencies, how much money is going to be there? Zero. Because although you consistently put it away, you also go consistently and take it out. So look at what it is we're doing consistently. Look, our behaviors don't lie. Our results don't lie, right? We can talk, we can fake it all day long. We can talk a good game and we can have all these intentions and aspirations. But the results we live, they don't lie. A person can talk to me about health and fitness all day long, but if they're a scorching 200 pounds plus overweight, you're not living that. You're talking it, but that's not what you truly live and believe. So what we really believe, we live. We can talk about certain things. We can communicate about certain things. We can write about certain things. And we can even believe certain things intellectually. But what we truly believe at the core is what we live. And what we live, we're able to see. We're able to see what a person truly believes because you live it. So I hope you got a lot, if not a little, out of today's five-step success system that works every single time. And it does work. Give you a quick recap. First thing is your commitment to start, continue, and complete. Hey, listen, everybody that becomes successful, they have to make a commitment, right? They have to commit to starting it, and then they know that, hey, look, I got to be committed to continuing this thing. And they also know, look, I got to commit to completing it. I have to see this through completion all the way through. Even if it's tough, even if it's hard, I need to see this thing all the way through. And that's where number two comes in at, right? Courage, not just general courage, but courage to deal with the changes and the obstacles that come along the way. Hey, there may be changes in relationships because people don't agree with the choices that it is you're making on the direction you want to take your life. I mean, think about that. People that don't like your life choices may come against you. That's going to create some obstacles. That's going to be some change you're going to need the courage to deal with, especially if those relationships are important to you. Right? Or the change in your schedule. Hey, listen, if you want to be building a successful business, you have to cut back on some of those extracurricular activities, sleeping in late, right? Going to, you know, just doing the stuff that is not supportive of the successful business. That's changed. You have to have the courage to do those things. Hey, have the courage to tell the girlfriends or your buddies, look, I can't mess around with all this foolish chatting anymore. I'm committed to something bigger. Right. The third thing was confidence in your abilities, your confidence, your abilities, not somebody else's confidence, not somebody else's ability, not someone else giving you permission to be confident, not somebody else telling you you're good enough, because everybody has an agenda and we don't know why they're telling us what it is they're telling us. And it's fine. They can encourage us. That's cool. But we don't want our confidence to be riding on the waves of other people's thoughts, opinions and feelings about us. Because if the tide disappears, we have nothing to ride on. So now we no longer have any confidence. So our confidence, while it can be bolstered and it can be stroked by what other people may think about us, especially if it's positive, and that's fine. Take it for what it's worth. But that should not be at the core of where your confidence comes from. You can appreciate it, but hey, you know that independent of that, you're still confident in your own abilities, and you're also improving your abilities every single day as much as possible, which further fuels and feeds your confidence, right? And the fourth thing was certainty about the outcome, right? Not getting caught up in this witchcraft, not wishing things are going to happen. You're willing it to happen because you're willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And in that willingness to make it happen, you're backing it up with number five, which is consistency in action. Not just taking sporadic actions, occasional actions, haphazard actions, but you are taking action consistently because you understand the power of cumulative effects, the power of momentum that is generated and built in your life from taking consistent action, relentless action at very specific things all the time. It is one of the most powerful things every single one of us have access to, but we all don't access it. We experience the results of it, whether we want to or not, because we're all consistently doing or not doing something. So we're going to always experience the results of the cumulative effect. But by being conscious of it, we can use it to our own benefit. We can leverage that for our own purposes, so that we can excel, so we can succeed, so we can achieve, and we can be, do, have, and become what it is we aspire to be, do, have, and become. That power is in your hands. It's my hopes, and on behalf of Dr. James Dentley, who wasn't able to join us today, it's my hopes that you will take these five steps, and you will understand them, and you will use them, and you will put them to work, because across the entire world, everyone that excels and succeeds at anything, they have these five ingredients in common. And now you understand what the five ingredients are. You can take them, add them to your recipe of life so that your life can become the success that you want it to become. That is it for today's episode. Please be sure to join myself and Dr. James Dentley, who will be here next week. We're going to be talking about how to build unshakable confidence. So until then, go ahead, take these five steps and go out there and become successful. This is Stephen Pierce signing off. Until next week, Be inspired.
Thank you for listening to Be Inspired. Be sure to join James Dentley and Stephen Pierce for another inspiring show next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Until we talk again, be inspired to live your best life ever.